Well, Happy New Year once again. Who had an amazing meal last night? Raise your hand. I know I did. Bonnie's mom is amazing. She made a meal with at least 10 different dishes. Each one was just unique and delicious, and we ate more than we should have, and it was just an amazing time with our family last night. I hope you had a good experience too. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Jesus, you alone have the words of life, and I just ask that now that you'd send your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, God, to open our minds to your word, to help us to understand this love that you offer to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Recently, I read the biography of Robert Jaffrey, an Alliance missionary who served for many years in southern China at the beginning of the 20th century. By the time he was 55 years old, God had used him for over 31 years in China and Southeast Asia to start Bible colleges that trained Christian pastors and leaders, to publish writings that encouraged the Christians throughout that region, and to strengthen the local churches in that area. He also served as a field director, overseeing many missionaries throughout southern China. At his age, most missionaries would be looking ahead to retirement, or at least an easier assignment where they would have less duties, less stress. But the Lord had other plans for Jaffrey. God spoke to this faithful servant and asked him to pioneer an entirely new mission field in Indonesia by spreading the gospel among the Chinese people who were scattered throughout that country. Little did Jaffrey know that by obeying this calling, he was entering the most powerful time of his entire missionary ministry. His greatest contribution to the kingdom of God happened after the age of 55. Yes, God had been using him before this, but it was only in the last years of his life that God would use him to his full potential, that God would unleash a season of tremendous fruitfulness in his life. One biographer tells us that after Jaffrey obeyed the Lord by going to Indonesia, he saw more of his life's purpose realized in 13 years than he had seen realized in the previous 31 years of ministry. When he died in 1945, there were 13,000 Christians across Indonesia who came to Christ largely through his ministry or through the ministry of those that he had led to the Lord. And by 1990, this 13,000 had grown and had become 500,000. The fruit of this man's obedience. But he had to wait. God used him greatly in this last season of his life, but he had to wait many years to see this season of blessed, amazing fruitfulness. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about patience and the role of patience in our relationship with God. Today we're going to learn about the patience of love. The last time I spoke, we spent some time looking at Psalm 90, the prayer of Moses, and we learned that the only thing that counts in this life is faith expressing itself through love. From God's word, we saw that the first thing we need to know when we think about ourselves, when we think about our personal identity, the first thought that must color everything else that we think about ourselves is this: I am a person loved by God. And then we learned that when we meet someone else who comes into our lives, the first thing we need to think about them before we evaluate their clothing, their social status, their coolness level is this: they are a person who is loved by God. These are the most fundamental realities about who I am and about who you are and about who every person is that we will ever meet in our lives. They are a person loved by God. You are a person deeply, profoundly loved by God. And I am loved by God. The reality of God's love must infiltrate and transform how we see ourselves and how we see each other, how we see every person that we will encounter in our lives. And then the third step to living a life that matters most, a life filled with God's love, is that we must treat the people around us in a manner that is consistent with God's love for us and that is consistent with God's love for them. We receive God's generous love for us. We are transformed by it. And then we pass it on to the people around us. We join God in demonstrating how much He loves every person in our lives. Our theme this year is the healthy church. And as I've been praying about this theme, I feel the Lord has put on my heart that the aspect of health that He wants us as an English congregation to learn more about this year is quite simply love. Love. And so my sermon last time serves as a springboard for my sermons this year, which will focus on love. And through our time together, we will slowly work our way through 1 Corinthians 13 by looking at the various features of love. So today we will begin looking at the patience of love, 1 Corinthians 13:4. Then we will move on to look at the kindness of love, then the absence of envy in love, etc., working our way through 1 Corinthians 13. And I will also then tie this series in with Ephesians 4 and 5, which the Chinese congregation will be learning about in their sermons, so that together we as a church can learn more what it means to be healthy. Through this time that we focus on love, I pray that we will grow in our love for God, our love for each other, and our love for those around us. And so this week we are talking about the patience of love. Now, if you are like me, perhaps when you read 1 Corinthians 13:4 and you see the line, love is patient, perhaps you are immediately reminded of how many times you've been impatient, how many times you've lacked patience with the people in your life. And we will address this, but before we can even begin to understand the patience that God wants us to demonstrate to the people around us, we first have to understand this place that loving patience has in God's dealings with us and in our relationship with God, our response to God. And so I'm going to wait till the next time I speak in 2 weeks to look more deeply at the patience that God calls us to have to the people around us. Now, something we will come back to again and again this year is that we will never know what love is. We will never have a clue about what this love is that God is calling us to unless we look at where God has revealed His love to us in Jesus Christ. We can spend years with the philosophers speculating about the nature of love. We can watch hundreds of Hollywood movies that tell us about romance. We can spend decades studying the cultures throughout human history, looking at how various people have thought about love. But if we don't begin with God's Word, understanding God's Word through what God has shown us and revealed to us, then I can guarantee we will be led astray by hollow philosophies and empty traditions. We have to begin with what God has shown us through His Word. And in the Bible, the place where we first encounter God's loving patience is in His dealings with us. Now, who here has seen Batman Begins? Raise your hand. Has anyone seen Batman Begins? Okay, a few of you. Good. Now, in this film, as you know, the young Bruce Wayne he's trying to come to grips with the murder of his parents by And he's trying to just get a grasp of and understand the apparently unstoppable power of the criminal world that he's encountering. By leaving home, he leaves Gotham City, and he just travels, and he begins to live among criminals, trying to understand them. And then eventually, as you know, he joins the League of Shadows, right? This vigilante group who's fighting crime throughout the world. But then he has a falling out with the leader of the League of Shadows. What's the name of the leader? Ra's al Ghul, and they become enemies. It's this horrible twist of fate, you know. And so then Batman has to, Bruce Wayne returns, he becomes Batman, and he saves Gotham City from Ra's al Ghul, from being destroyed. So you know this story, right? But who is always at home waiting for Batman to return? Alfred, his butler. I think he's the best character in all the Batman films. Alfred is the one patiently waiting for the day that Bruce will finally grow up, right? And will take control of the family business. Alfred is the one who even bears with Bruce Wayne when he has this crazy idea of becoming Batman. By the way, did you hear about that guy in Michigan? And there's at least one guy in Seattle. They actually dress up like Batman going around trying to fight crime. It's crazy. The police just, it's a headache for them. They've been arrested for interfering. It's crazy. I don't recommend it. Now, Batman may be amazing, but it is really Alfred who models superhero patience. Let's be honest. Alfred models superhero patience. And in a way, Alfred gives us a small glimpse of what God's patience towards us is like. You see, God wouldn't even need to be patient with us if it weren't for the fact that we had this crazy idea, like Bruce Wayne, that we just want to go off on our own, do our own thing. This crazy idea that we can live without God, that we don't need Him in our lives, that we can embrace sin and reject God's will for our lives. But out of His amazing love for us, God chooses to be patient, to call out to us, to lead us to repentance, to call us back to Him. Rather than giving us what we really deserve, which is what? Instant destruction, right? Right? I mean, that's what Ra's al Ghul is trying to do. He's trying to destroy Gotham because of how wicked it was. But God reaches out to us in patience, calling us to repentance. And we see God's patience again and again throughout Scripture. In Isaiah 65, it's this really poignant passage. And God says, all day long, I have held out my hands to a stubborn people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations. A people who continually provoke me to my very face. How frightening, how absolutely frightening it would be to have God say something like that about you or me. But if we're honest, in each of our lives there's been a time where God patiently waited for us, preventing the harm that we deserve from falling upon us, and called out to us and reached out to us and kept waiting and patiently kept calling out to us. If we're honest, each one of us have had that experience. God's loving patience reaching out to us. Now, the Bible also tells us that the goal of God's patience is our salvation. That's the whole purpose of God's patience. It's for our salvation. In his second letter, Simon Peter, the apostle and leader of the early church, is arguing against those who are dismissing and rejecting this whole idea that Christ is coming again, because it's already getting to be almost the second century, right? And they've waited so long, they've waited decades, and Christ hasn't come back, so they're about to give up hope, right? How much longer have we waited? And so they're waiting year after year, but life keeps going on, the world keeps being as it is, the Roman Empire keeps existing. So maybe Jesus isn't coming back. And so Peter writes this letter and he's arguing against them. He says, hold on, wait a second. God is being patient with you for this reason. He says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise of returning, as some understand slowness. No, he's being patient with you. Understand his purpose. He's being patient because he doesn't want you to perish, but he wants everyone to come to repentance. And then in chapter 3, verse 15, just a few verses later, Peter writes, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. It means salvation. God has not forgotten his promises. He's being patient. He's calling out to us. The goal, the purpose of God's patience is repentance. God knows that his coming will mean judgment. And so he delays Christ's coming in order to provide us time to repent. Time to realize how sinful we are and repent and turn to him. My roommate during my freshman year of college had this major final exam coming up. I'll never forget it. He was really struggling in this class. It was one of those subjects that he wasn't good at. We all have those subjects. And so he asked me to pray for him. He was a Christian. I was a Christian. I was praying for him. And slowly the day came when this horrible exam was coming. Well, you know what happened? The morning came and his test was scheduled between 8 and 10 a.m. And he slept till 9:30. My roommate. And I'm so embarrassed because the reason I know this is I was also asleep till 9:30 that morning. But I didn't have class. And so I'll never forget what happened. My roommate suddenly wakes up. And then he jumps up. And then he cries out in despair. This horrible cry of despair. And then he runs out the door as fast as he can. And he's just saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. He runs to class. And it's the last minutes of the exam. And he just goes to the professor and he says, I am so sorry. It's my fault. I slept in. I should have been here. Is there anything I can do not to fail this exam? And the professor was so kind. The professor let him stay in the room. And over the next 2 hours, the professor let him take the exam. In a way, you could say that the professor's patience was my roommate's salvation, right? Right? The professor's patience was my roommate's salvation. And that's how it is with God. His patience is our salvation. The last thing we need to know about God's loving patience this morning is that it does not last forever. I just finished reading the book of Job as part of my personal devotions. And at the end of this book, God's patience even runs out with his servant Job, who is a man of integrity. And yet he keeps questioning God because of all the suffering that God is allowing to enter the lives of him and his family. I read this week God's terrible words to Job, which are this. God says, who is this who darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself, Job. I will now question you, and you will answer me. And for those who reject God, it is even more terrible when God's patience runs out. In Jeremiah 15:6, the Lord declares to his people who've rejected him, you have rejected me. You keep on backsliding. And so I will lay hands on you and destroy you. I can no longer show you compassion. How absolutely terrible to hear these words. Even God's patience has a limit, a point where you reach that point and we've gone too far. He is patient with us out of love, but He calls us to repentance and salvation. But when we persist in rejecting Him, turning our back on Him, going our own way, eventually He does say, it's too late. The time has come for judgment. So far, we've learned three things this morning about God's patience. First, that God demonstrates His loving patience to us by calling us to repentance. Second, that the goal of God's patience is our salvation. And third, that although God's patience lasts a long time, it does not last forever. This is God's loving patience towards us. Yet did you know that we are also called to demonstrate patience toward God? Did you know that? Now, God doesn't sin. So it is unthinkable that we would need to bear with God the way He so often bears with us in our frailty and our weakness. Why do we need to demonstrate patience to God? Does anyone know? Would anyone like to shout it out? Why do we have to be patient with God? Why do we have to be patient with God? It's interesting, if you want to really try to make a group of people listen to you, you ask a question and then you just are silent. And all of a sudden I see so many more eyes. It's interesting. But it's, so why do we need to be patient with God? Well, I'll tell you. Because I've been thinking about this week, because I actually had to prepare a sermon. And I think you guys are thinking this. It's just hard sometimes to shout out an answer when there's so many people in the room. But the reason that we also need to be patient with God is that we often need to wait for God's timing, for Him to bring about His will in our lives. This is the loving patience of a servant who understands God's claim and lordship over our lives. As many of you know, Bonnie and I recently had a vacation back in Minnesota. We just had a really great time, and we saw some old friends, and it's so interesting. One of my old friends, it's actually a roommate from California, a seminary roommate. He now lives in Minnesota. And so we visited him and his family. And he has these two beautiful twin girls who are about 2 years old. And they're unbelievably cute, sweet-natured, and brilliant. I mean, you just couldn't ask for two more amazing children than my friend has. And we sat there talking to my friend in his living room while his two girls were eating a snack near to us on their dining room table. And suddenly, remember, they're twins, and twins have a way of inventing their own languages. They have a way of having their own communication. And suddenly, at the same time, they realized that their plates were empty and that they wanted more food. And so with mischievous little smiles on their faces, they began to chant in unison, "More, more, 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 more." It was just absolutely hilarious. These two-year-old cute little girls chanting, "More, more, more, more." And my friend stopped, and he corrected their childish behavior, and he had them ask politely for food before he would actually give it to them. So he's teaching them well. But later, I found myself thinking, how often we are just like these two little girls. So often, it's as though we're sitting at this table full of food, with our Heavenly Father nearby, with our Heavenly Father who's promised to give us everything we need. Yet our plate happens to become empty for a moment. We happen for a moment to realize that we need something. And so we began shouting up to God, "More, more, 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 more." And there He is, just ready to give us more. And yet we're just so full of impatience. We're so full of demand. If God doesn't give us what we want right now, right now, the instant we realize that something else would be good for us to have, then we start shouting to God, more, more, more. We forget that our Heavenly Father knows what we need, Jesus says, even before we ask. He knows what we need even before we know it. He knows what we'll need in 1 week, in 1 month, in 1 year, way before we'll even realize it. And we forget Christ's command to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And then all these things will be given to us as well. There's so many areas of this of our lives that this applies to. Waiting for the spouse that God has chosen for us. Waiting for that right career door to open. Waiting for that acceptance letter to come in the mail. Whatever it is, our lives are full of waiting. And one of the greatest examples of this type of loving patience that God asks of us can be found in the story of Abraham that we read earlier today. And last week, Reverend Lee Hearn spoke of God calling Abraham out of the city of Ur. And he spoke about the adventure of faith that God led him on step by step. And because of Abraham's obedience, God was able to use him, not only in his generation, but in every generation of the people of God from that time until now. But did you know this? That most of Abraham's life was spent waiting. He spent most of his life just simply waiting. Waiting for God to fulfill God's promise to him that he would be a father of many nations. We know from Scripture that Abraham needed to wait until he was 100 years old before he could become a dad. And his whole blessing, the entire promise of God, hinged upon him being the father of Isaac. And he had to wait so long for that promise to come about. God was teaching him patience. The patience of a servant who understands that his life belongs to another. That his life belongs to God, who asks his servant to trust him and to wait, to surrender his life to God's will in God's time. By waiting for God and surrendering our lives to the movement of His will, we offer God a sacrifice of love. The sacrifice of the patience of love that understands that His will and His timing is always best. His will is always the best, and His timing is always the best timing. Finally, at the end of Robert Jaffrey's life, getting back to the missionary we're talking about at the beginning, finally, at the end of his long life of service, God allowed Jaffrey to retire. But the thing is, it wasn't the type of retirement that you or I would ever choose. You see, it was 1941. And the Japanese army was expanding its territory throughout Southeast Asia and beyond. And Jaffrey was now 68 years old. And he knew that God was calling him to reject all the offers he was being given to escape and return to the U.S., where he could teach at any seminary, where he could be a pastor of any church, where he could go around and encourage all the missionaries in training and leave a mark on the next generation. He knew that God was calling him to reject all these offers and to stay in Indonesia so that he could encourage the church of 13,000 people that had become Christians through his ministry and who were about to face an incredible season of deep suffering for their faith. And so in early 1942, they watched as island after island of Indonesia fell to the Japanese army. Finally, the coastline of their army fell, and yet he and his wife and daughter stayed and continued to teach, continued to encourage the local Christians, until finally the Japanese army moved into their village, captured him, his wife, and his daughter, and sent them to a prison camp. For about a year, they were allowed to live together. But after 1 year, Jaffrey was separated from his wife and his daughter forever. And he was sent to a camp of men. Year after year went by. And after several years of living in this prison camp, the war began to draw to an end. And the Allied armies were beginning to recapture island after island in Indonesia. And so the Japanese army moved Jaffrey and the other missionaries from one camp to another camp, camp to camp, each camp being more isolated than the first as they fled the Allied armies that would set free the prisoners. And as they fled from camp to camp, Jaffrey, now in his early 70s, became more and more ill. You see, the food rations were being cut off more and more each day. And the rugged journey was taking a toll. And he became weaker and weaker. And then finally, on July 29th, 1945, only a few short weeks before the Japanese surrender, Jaffrey heard the Lord say to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant," as he died and left his earthly body behind and joined his Lord in heaven. The missionaries that were with him, even up to the end, testify that through all these years of hardship, he continued to demonstrate deep Christ-like character, deep love, even to the Japanese guards that would mistreat them. He had served the Lord faithfully for so many years. But he needed to wait. He needed to wait until he arrived at his heavenly home before he could receive the rest, the retirement, the refreshment, the reward that he had deserved. He first had to wait for so many years before he experienced tremendous fruitfulness. And then he had to wait again for years and years before he could rest from his labor in the arms of his Lord. You know, Jaffrey continues to inspire thousands today to walk faithfully with their Lord, in no small part because he chose to wait. He chose to patiently wait for God's timing in every aspect of his life. He chose to persevere through hardship and difficulty out of obedience to the Lord. And he allowed his life to model this patience of love that God desires from each of us. This patience of love that God first models by just waiting, calling us to repentance. And then God calls us to model this patience of love back to him and to be patient with him by waiting for his timing and his will in his way. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we are so often impatient. So often we are like my friend's beautiful daughters and we're just crying out, "More, more, more, more." When you're so close to us and you long to give us everything we need, and yet you are asking us to demonstrate the patience of love by just waiting a little bit, by just trusting you a little bit more, by just looking to you, by just surrendering our lives to the movement of your will and your way, the movement of your timing and your will. Lord, we ask today that we would just have a revelation of your patience toward us, so that we also, Lord, can offer you the sacrifice of our love through patience. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.